In this episode, I'm going to give you the latest video marketing news and talk to you about what's happening at Google, GoPro, and Instagram.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hey-o, what is up? What is up? Hey, you know, if it sounds a little bit different, you should know that I walked into the cluster F of all clusters as it involves recording the audio for the podcast. You know, normally I record this inside of the Wirebuds studios. Today I'm sitting inside of my office, and instead of using our radio talk show host mic or our VO mic, I'm actually using a lavalier, and it's going into a GH5, and I'm recording through one of these UHF synthesizer transmitters over to the receiver. For all you gearheads, I'm actually using one of my trusty Sony UTX B2s. I've had this for at least 7 years, this mic, but the board, the mixing board in the studio burned out. My backup mic, which is this Shure Motive mic that plugs into my iPhone, isn't working because Shure software and the new iPhone, they aren't jiving. Imagine that. And so today's going to sound a little different, but no doubt I've got great information for you. Google's testing a new mobile search interface and a new search refinement button. It's really important for you to know this. As a video marketer, you've got to understand and be comfortable in the digital landscape to be able to properly navigate your clients' projects. We'll get into that in a moment. I'll give you the latest information on Google's new Chrome update that's rolling out. Share the latest in Google's free bike problem that's been sprouting up all around their headquarters in Mountain View that I've been tipping you off from time to time. We're going to discuss GoPro. There's also going to be some information about Facebook and Instagram, and it's all coming up in this episode. But first, did we just enter a new phase in American history? Look, I know what I'm about to say is going to be at first glance. It's going to sound a little bit crazy. I get it. You know, throughout my career, I've always been way ahead. I need very little validation from others to know if I'm on track. And I think I just saw something recently in the news that nobody's talking about, but we should, as citizens of this great country. Did you see the news that congressmen were on a train that got derailed, that hit a truck? Interesting, right? And then I heard that 200 members of Congress from one party were on that train. I was a private charter train headed to a congressional retreat for one of the parties. And if they were targeted, are we now in a different phase in American history? If this is a deliberate attack, are we now in a hot civil war, right? Well, I just bring it up because if we're in a different phase, we should not only know about it, but culturally, we should be discussing it. Speaking of hot, I went to the Phoenix Open, the golf tournament with Marcus Krieg. No, not Marcus being hot. It was 80 plus degrees outside early February, exactly what you would expect in Phoenix. And the Open is literally a 3-iron shot away from the Wirebuds office. It was Celebrity Pro-Am Day, which is how I roll, which meant that, you know, I would know at least one person competing in the Celebrity Pro-Am because I don't know a single golfer's name. So hopefully there's a celebrity there that I would know. And after finishing his 18 holes, walking 10 feet from us, we saw Aaron Rodgers. You know who he is? Aaron Rodgers? He's the discount double check guy. How cool is that? I saw the guy from the State Farm commercial. His name, Aaron Rodgers. That's big time. And I'll post a photo of Marcus and I at the 18th hole at the Phoenix Open. And we had our friend Willie Bill set us up with clubhouse tickets. Beautiful day out there. And my friend Willie Bill went with us. And because this is Willie Bill's first time being discussed on the podcast, you should know I was introduced to him as Willie, like socially, 10 years ago. And basically, if Wendy Mia Moore and I would host a party, Willie Bill would, he'd always be there. And maybe 5 years into knowing him, I ran into him at a tech event. And people there were all calling him Bill. So that's really confusing to me. My brain is too fast for people to have inside of my mind's eye some kind of a drop-down menu of name options by event setting. Oh, and Willie Bill is the only friend he's the friend we've all wished for. You know which one I'm talking about? The one who goes to Alaska often and then always hits you up and says something random in the middle of your workday via text message like, dude, I'm in Alaska. King crab legs are like 11 pounds. How many pounds do you want? I'll bring them home, right? And in my mind, I'm like, I need like 100 pounds of that stuff. Will he bring it on home? He's that friend. The photo is up on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/138. By the way, it was super hot outside. As I mentioned, I was wearing a black polo shirt, rocking my guns. And what I discovered is being one of the fittest guys at a golf event isn't saying much. Just isn't. I don't know if anybody there even exercises. I don't even know if golf is a sport. They serve alcohol in the middle of it, which makes it feel like more like an activity than a sport, but that's just me. Anyway, super hot outside. Fortunately, our tent had an open bar. Thank you very much, Willie Bill. And speaking of booze, Mashable reports one bar in New York City had a dream of taking the meme trend and make it not kill people and even get people drunk. I'm talking about these Tide Pod shots that came out of the Barcelona bar in New York City. And the owner of the bar said the shot is made of blue curacao, Bailey's, and vodka, and orange food coloring. It is made by layering the ingredients carefully. Sounds disgusting, right? But you'd drink it, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Me too. That's how disgusting it is. I'd even try it. You know, when I got started in digital marketing back in 1998, it wasn't even called digital marketing then. It was way early. Like, nobody even knew what it was. And it wasn't even called online marketing. It was actually frowned upon. It was a frowned upon medium that nobody took seriously. I didn't even know how to charge people at the beginning. All I was doing was advising people, it felt like, for the first couple of years. Online marketing is not where people with marketing degrees would go. In 1991, I was interning on the Apple advertising campaign at BBDO Los Angeles, literally one of the largest, most prestigious ad agencies in the world, which is in El Mundo. For the Spanish-speaking listeners to this podcast, BBDO is where marketers, real marketers that had street cred, wanted to be, not working on this rinky-dink internet that nobody understood. And the only people doing online marketing back then were people who couldn't get a job anywhere else. Really, I know. It's weird today to think about it. Today, it's all sexy, right? Digital marketers, they got marketing chops that have been involved in great projects that have grown huge million-dollar campaigns or multi-million-dollar campaigns, or even projects where you grow a million followers a year on, like we've done regularly. Those kind of projects were, the world just wasn't ready for it. The internet was fringe, low-class marketing. Why? Well, because it wasn't taken seriously by the industry. It wasn't taken seriously by professors and entrepreneurs. Marketers wanted to create television commercials, glossy print ads, and entertaining radio spots, not work on the internet, right? And I'm not kidding. I know it sounds foreign to some of you who might be younger than me, but to think this online marketing thing is glamorous today is a total joke to me. And yet every time my wife and I go to dinner with friends or, let's say, member of a client's executive leadership, and they're in the same city as me and they invite me to dinner with a table full of movers and shakers, I literally spend the entire night answering marketing questions, advising guests, and struggling to get my next bite of food. Look, 5 years into my digital marketing career, back in 2003. I started obsessing with the power of video when I was at the Premier Radio Network. And I'd look in on each one of the shows that I was working on and leading their marketing campaigns. And each show would have 20 to 30 million weekly visitors on the website. And I never wanted to be the video guy because I always pictured myself doing something different, right? But the video guy was the title that people kept giving me. And I had already carved out a place in digital marketing. I was speaking and enjoying speaking at search and social content, marketing conferences. I had to become the video guy because I saw the same trends that were constantly playing out over the history of the internet. First, I saw it in websites, and I was having to convince smart business owners that people do go online looking for information. And do you even know how frustrating that was? Often I would spend 20 minutes explaining to a business owner how important the internet was going to be for their business, how they needed to get there first. And they would reply saying something like, you know, Todd, I'm good. I'm in the yellow pages. And then online business gurus started appearing. And most people thought the internet was just a fad, like everything else. And it was generally the people that were reliant on the yellow pages. And then AOL popped up, America Online, for those of you that are too young. And people were teaching how to use AOL to read the news. It was just a new concept. People still weren't doing business online. The smart money was convinced the internet was just a fad, gone tomorrow, don't waste too much time. People don't really want to be on those computers. They want to be talking with salespeople. And when search engines popped up, they were a foreign concept to people. Basically, search engines were just the yellow pages online, the earliest SEO, the earliest search engine optimization. Do you know what it was? It was what the yellow pages did when somebody opened up a company and they called themselves AAA. So AAA, let's say, Realty, or AAA Plumbing, one of those. AAA's our client, the automotive company. The AA is Alcoholics Anonymous. So they would do three A's because it would guarantee that they'd be on the top of that category. That's it. That's basic, early, old school SEO, yellow pages style, and the thought that you would need to search and use a search engine to navigate the internet was mind-blowing to most people. Because the most cutting-edge early adopter internet users were all AOL subscribers back then, and most people never left the Truman Show-style boundaries of the AOL universe, unless they ventured off property to the dark side of the web looking for porn. Early in my career, before facial hair, I was teaching people how to use search engines. I literally remember 1998 trying to explain to a business owner how important search engine content strategies were. My first case study came directly from my Phoenix News site, where I was generating 36 million visitors a year using text and keywords to dominate search engines, like Ask Jeeves, which eventually became ask.com. Yahoo Dogpile was my favorite. I could dominate that thing like a boss. And this little known site called Google. In fact, my first podcast was called How to Profit from Where Google is Going. You say Google? You say Google. Okay, say it however you want, but back in the day, none of us really even knew. And for the better part of a decade, I owned the entire full first page of search results on, how do you say it? Google. Even as late as 2012, I often dominated every search result. 10 out of 10, baby, that's how I rolled on the first page of Google for my clients' key terms. If you don't believe me, hey, I'll add a screenshot from page one, multiple page ones, from search results as far back as 2012 to the show notes page of this episode, wirebuzz.com/138, and you will see you're not allowed to do that anymore. And I actually felt as a rock star digital marketer back in the day that if I couldn't dominate all 10, then I must suck, right? And now, and shortly after this screenshot that you'll see, what ended up happening was Google diversified. They wouldn't allow bosses like me to control all that space. And SEO changed forever, became more competitive. In fact, it was competitive by design. All these search results that you'll see on the screenshot were all created in one location at a client's event. All of the search results had some type of video on that page because I know that video gets the best search results. So 10 out of 10. And if I got 7 out of 10, I felt like a big loser. And anyway, you'll want to see that. It's kind of interesting. You know, I never wanted to be the video guy. It just happened and I really struggled with it. I was already on the top of my digital marketing game and video was fringe. It was low class neck of the digital marketing world because of my freakish early viral success by 2003. I was running digital marketing campaigns for the biggest shows in the country. But as I like to say, the answers are always inside of the analytics. And every time I looked inside of the analytics, video was getting the best search results. And I just wanted to provide my clients with the best results possible. So I became obsessed with video because of those results. And just like it was 1970 and I was the track coach and I noticed that Nike track shoes won the most races, that's what I needed to be involved in. I needed to always provide the best possible results and an obsession was born. But if I woke up tomorrow and holograms got better results than video, I'd kick video's ass to the curb, man, and I would move on. Because I'm not in love with video. I'm in love with the results that video creates. And there's a huge difference. If you want to dominate search, you got to build video into your search results. Time on page, links, shares, right? All of those get improved when you include a video and improve the value of that page. The same is true on social or on email or in sales. And the time has come for smart marketers and smart video creators to meet at the intersection that I've lived at for, well, a better part of a decade and a half, right? So now, here's the news that matters to video marketing masters. Good friend of the podcast and the world's leading Google search reporter, Barry Schwartz, is reporting in search engine land. Google has confirmed it is testing a new mobile search interface and a new search refinement button. Now, the new search interface shows fewer search results on the mobile search results page, with the option to click on a button labeled more results, right? And when I say more results, I did that with quotes on the outside of more results. In addition, Google is testing showing buttons to refine your search directly in search results snippets. Now, I love this because all I ever do is refine my search. So if I'm searching for something like, let's say, Todd Hartley video, right? What I'm going to do in my Google search is I'm always going to refine. I'm going to go over to the tools button right below the magnifying glass on Google after I do the search. And I'm going to click on tools and I'm going to refine how recent that search was. And I'm going to narrow down the results. And I do that with everything. And the reason is I want to always make sure that the searches are the freshest, the newest content. Because in most cases, I'm looking for the latest information, which means I need to refine this down to a search option of everything published in the last 24 hours or the past week. And being able to do that inside of mobile will really be remarkable. So a Google spokesperson told us, quote, "We constantly experiment with new search formats and experiences to deliver the best user experience for our users." All right, TV timeout. This isn't just Google talking. This is anybody that's successful. If you're successful online, if you've created a great business, if you've developed a product, it's all about iteration and refinement. And like Google, you should constantly be experimenting with new formats or experiences that deliver the best user experience for your customers, or the best results inside of your sales process. I am an optimizer. I love to tinker. And when I see somebody that's doing something great, like Google advancing their search results formats in mobile and desktop and never resting on yesterday's successes, that inspires me. And if you want to be great, if you want to own your industry, you should be equally as obsessed. So what can your business learn from this Google mobile search trend? Well, if you're like me, I'm obsessed with where Google is going, right? Have been since the very beginning, back when we all knew it as Google. So I want to align my business to profit with Google's path. And the first thing I noticed is that Google's mobile buttons, when I look them up, are actually the shape of the tips of your index finger. You wanna know what that looks like? Well, here's the easiest way for me to explain it. Turn your index finger around. So if you're pointing at your nose, but don't go too close, right? I don't wanna be responsible for you hurting yourself. I don't want you to poke yourself. Instead, just observe the tip of your finger. And something tells me the tip of your index finger looks a whole lot like the tip of my finger. And that's the shape of Google's mobile buttons, right? Because over 60% of all searches are now done via mobile phones. And Google is moving full steam ahead to make sure that their buttons are what I like to call finger click worthy, right? There's like finger licking good for KFC. This is finger clicking worthy, all right? And you wanna make sure that as a video creator, ooh, let's take this one step further. Oh, Todd, you know what? Look, if I'm gonna be, I don't know if this is valuable, blah, 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 blah. The reality is you should be learning from Google as it pertains to your own videos. I've told you in the past, if in Q3 of 2017, 58% of all videos viewed online were viewed on mobile. Now, the next phase is you have to make sure that the buttons on your video or that are on your page are large enough to be finger clicking worthy. Got it? That's the lesson you should learn. Why is Google doing it? And then when you figure out what Google's doing, align your business with that, because Google is the biggest ship in the sea. It has a wake behind it that you can ride, man, just like you're jet skiing, you know, behind a big ship or you're, wakeboarding or something. It's going to lay out a wake and you're going to ride it. And if Google's moving full steam ahead on buttons that your finger can be able to click on, well, every one of the buttons in your video or on your website should be finger clicking worthy. Got it? Speaking of Google, the largest advertisers in the world are routinely on Google's campus. And the same is true for campuses of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat. In fact, you may remember Wirebuzz was recently at YouTube with one of our clients to lay out the client's massive 2018 video marketing initiatives. This client just recently doubled the amount of work we do for them every month. Hallelujah, right? Like the angels opened up in the sky. And then after they doubled it, their European division opened up. And now they're not allowed to use any of their US domestic video assets. They've got to create all new ones. Oh, and the angels are smiling. That's finger clicking worthy, isn't it? I love it. All right, so this client has had such impressive results with our video marketing tactics that right now we're creating like 40 or 50 new videos for them in a single day. Such a large number, I literally have 1 to 2 full-time employees on my team that's just working 100% of the time on that client's projects, and this doesn't even include the new European projects that we're gonna be picking up. Good on you, Team Wirebuzz. Look, several episodes ago, I told you how Google's free bikes for their employees on campus have been getting either stolen or employees ride them all around town and go down to that hummus place down the street from Google. That hummus place is straight up legit. And it's right down the street from 23andMe. So every time I'm there meeting with the 23andMe team, I always go get myself some yummy hummus. But the people at Google's campus or the locals never bring them back. And now Silicon Beat is reporting Google loses, get this. Oh, maybe I should turn this into a pop quiz. How many bikes do you think Google loses a week around Mountain View? You want to guess? All right, get ready. Lock that guess in. We're going to lock that guess in right now. All right. Google loses 250 bikes a week, 1,000 bikes a month. It's ridiculous, right? Let me do the math. I went to the University of Arizona. I'm going to use a calculator that is 12,000 bikes a year. At some point, I'd go bankrupt. But Google, they'd just turn a profit. And I don't know why I find this story so interesting to follow, but I kind of want a Google bike for the Wirebuzz office. And if you have an extra one, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that have them in their garage, just ship it over to me, all right? I'll drop you a FedEx number. We could really use a Google bike in our Wirebuzz office. And a quick update, a reminder of a topic I shared on a past episode. The Hill explains, thehill.com makes it to the podcast. That's cool. Google's Chrome browser will soon be removing advertisement from sites that fall short of industry standards. Thank you, sweet baby Jesus. The company announced Tuesday, Google revealed its plans to have the browser start blocking certain types of ads like autoplay videos, and that full rollout will happen at February 15th. The browser would block all ads on sites that repeatedly show autoplay videos and full page or pop-up ads. Oh, the times they are a-changing. The wild west of the internet is now becoming one more step more civilized. So why does this matter to video marketing masters? Well, the easiest thing for me to explain to you is autoplay videos are a no-no. It's really a, unless somebody clicked on, well, let me explain why it's a no-no. Then I'll explain where it's not a no-no and you should do it, all right? Most people, and I think I'm going to venture a guess, you feel the same. You go onto a website and the video starts playing and the next thing you know, you've just outed yourself at your cubicle or at your office that you're on SportsCenter, da-na-na, da-na-na, and it starts playing and your speakers are up and everybody looks at you and they know you ain't working, right? That's how you piss people off. And ESPN is probably the biggest offender in time. I don't know if they do it now, but for a long time, men like me, manly men, would go to ESPN and we'd get our sports fix in the middle of the day, pretending to be working, trying to figure out what's going on with LeBron. And before you know it, everybody in the office knows we ain't working, right? So people end up, people like me, end up hating ESPN. Well, not really hating. Hate's a strong word, but we start going elsewhere. The amount of discomfort that comes from a website that autoplays is large, and you don't want to do that. So never have any of your videos autoplay. That actually comes up a lot when I'm speaking. The flip side of the coin is, well, yeah, Todd, but there is a time, right, where autoplay videos should play automatically, and when is that? Well, if you're using a video inside of your email, and it's just a image with a play button that looks like a video and it's linked to a landing page. When somebody clicks on that inside the email and it opens up the page in a browser, your default browser, it should autoplay there and only in that scenario because your user already clicked on the video and they're already expecting it to roll, all right? Hey, let's talk about bots for a moment. A Twitter listener to this podcast with the Twitter handle, get this, at Todd AO, and it's not me. So at Todd AO, what is up, dude? Sent me a message asking, hey, Todd, is Twitter doing anything to address their Russian bot situation? In a moment, you're going to hear the rest of the story. You see, I used to be an investigative reporter, so how should I really answer this question? Do I have to be really candid and honest? You know, based on the research that I have done, do I just tell you what I think? Or because if I do that, I run the risk of being labeled a wacko, or do I echo the fake outrage that comes from our tech titans in Silicon Valley? What responsibility do I have? You know, well, I struggle with that because I do know what's going on. And well, here's what I told at Todd AO. It's kind of a cool name. Here's what I wrote him. I wrote, Todd Mann, the candid answer is everyone in power. is using bots to shape public perception. Example, political parties are working directly with the social giants to manufacture fake profiles, fake replies, fake arguments, and fake pushback even. And the bot problem is also the secret tool that big social and big tech social giants rely on the most. Look, are you surprised? Everyone in the know knows big social isn't a victim of audience manipulation. In fact, big social, they're the biggest manipulators, and they don't want you to know how complicit they are. So they act offended, and that's the truth. Truth. So when the news breaks around the bots, well, they act dumb. And now you know the rest of the story. I'll stop right there. When I come back, page two. Hey, let's take a moment and talk about the gram. I saw this in Mashable. Instagram is quietly rolling out a new feature that will recommend posts for you based on the activity of the accounts you follow. Recommended for you posts will sit in their own section, accessible through a thumbnail above your newsfeed, according to TechCrunch. How do you like this? It's an article in Mashable that's quoting TechCrunch, that's probably in the TechCrunch article, quoting another technology site. So how does Instagram determine which posts will appear in the recommended section? Well, Mashable goes on to say, according to Instagram's help section, the posts are suggested according to content liked by the accounts you follow. And if you see something you don't like, you can temporarily hide recommended for you. Don't. Oh my God, something, God forbid, I see something that I don't like. We're all so sensitive today, aren't we? It's like the worst thing you could do is be offended. Posts, these recommended for you posts can disappear. You can temporarily hide them by tapping the camera icon above the post, selecting hide. Got it? I'll put this article on the show notes page. All right, so why is Gram rolling out this new section in your newsfeed? Because they're experiencing what all other big social sites are struggling with. And it really comes down to real estate. There's just very little available real estate for more ad inventory. And if you run out of available real estate, you can't generate more revenue. So the Gram is creating more feeds to feed you more ads. Their struggle is real. And now you know the rest of that story too. The Zucklings are in the news. Silicon Beat reports, Facebook will notify users when their photos are uploaded to the social network when they're not tagged. Now, the company is expanding its use of facial recognition technology, saying it's a way for users to have more control over their photo likeness on the platform. Now, Facebook users will receive notifications only when they're part of the intended audience for a post, such as when their friends upload photos but don't tag everyone in them. Now, look, I think this is great, especially when your friends you went to college with post that super embarrassing drunk photo of you and you get notified before your clients see it, right? That's where I could see it being helpful. And you know those photos of you are out there somewhere. If you're under the age of 35, there are 10 times more photos of you being inebriated than anybody in my age range, and thank the sweet Lord for that. Look, here's another video marketing topic that I've been keeping up to speed on. GoPro used to be the top of the industry for action cameras, and as more competitors came into the market, I've been telling you about how GoPro is coming down. Well, TechCrunch is reporting GoPro is in the process of laying off around 200 to 300 employees. TechCrunch has learned from sources that are close to the company. Now, the hits to the company were largely concentrated in its aerial division, a segment of the company responsible for its Karma drone. And yesterday, GoPro confirmed, TechCrunch is reporting, that the company is shutting its Karma drone division, laying off hundreds of employees. In addition, the company is shifting focus entirely back to action cams, a market they insist is absolutely robust enough to sustain the company. Pause right here for a second from this article. The action camera industry, he says, is absolutely robust enough to sustain the company that built the industry. That is crazy talk. That's how many competitors have come into the marketplace. You know, I've noticed that GoPro is almost everywhere I want to go. I'm in the airport coming back from client meetings in Silicon Valley, and I'm at San Jose's airport. And you know what I see there? GoPro cameras by your, you know, at the gift shop, waiting to be purchased for people that are going on vacation. And I usually, as a tech nerd geek, will walk through the store, buy some time, look at the packaging, look at the cameras and the specs, and look at the accessories. I like doing that. I can burn a good 20 minutes in there in that San Jose airport. But guess what? Doesn't matter if I go to Target or if I go to a QT somewhere, a quick trip spot. Like, all of these places that you wouldn't think would have a camera are selling action cameras, and it's amazing to see the saturation that's taking place. That should be a concern for anybody who's trying to, you know, be in an industry that is growing and thriving when there's that much competition. But as you know, competition breeds quality. CEO Nick Woodman didn't comment on rumors of the potential sale beyond noting that the company was not actively engaged in the process of selling itself, and said that the leadership would continue to strategize and run GoPro as though we're going to be running this independent company ongoing, because we have to be the masters of our own destiny. It's really interesting. An indicator that there is something going on. If there's ever been CEO or president speak, that is it. We're going to continue to go on forward running this independent company because we have to be the masters of our own destiny. Right? Well, the CEO and founder of GoPro asserted that he believes things would have fared differently for the company's Karma drone program had it not dealt with its initial, quote, horrible launch. He said that the decision to shut it down was ultimately due to a domino effect that resulted from poor sales of the company's last-gen Hero 5 action camera. It got to a point where, you know, we own a bunch of the Hero 4s, buying a Hero 5, which we also own. You know, if you're not somebody who's a power user like us, you may not have needed to upgrade, kind of like what happened with the iPhone with all of their lame upgrades. Your business takeaway here is, you know, there's a reason pioneers get slaughtered in every industry, in exploration. If you are going to trailblaze in a niche, you have to keep pushing your products higher and higher, and by making significantly better products, because gravity always wants to bring you down, right? John Mayer told us that. And I've been trailblazing in the video marketing niche before the term video marketing was even used. I'm an early pioneer. Let's forge ahead and let's do it smart so we don't get slaughtered, all right? What is it that Jim Morrison used to say? The future's uncertain, the end is always near. And if I never evolved, I'd still be teaching the benefits of blogging and how to use Ask Jeeves and Dogpile. The reality is, the more you follow digital marketing trends, the more closely you see that the foundational elements are being laid. The new content tactics are built right on top of their predecessors. And you may remember in an episode where my friend Arnie Ken, the founder and CEO of Vertical Measures, joined me on a podcast. And he mentioned how long ago it was when I was the lone voice preaching the good gospel of transcribing videos so they could be found in search results. You know, that's not Todd being an innovator. That's just me transferring foundational principles from SEO or from blogging into video for SEO. Nothing ingenious here, just keeping my eye on the evolving digital landscape. And if you want to be a great video marketing master, understanding the foundational search, social, email, traffic, conversion, and sales techniques will ultimately be vital. You know, I turned down an opportunity to be in San Francisco this week with clients because I'm about to go back on the road speaking, filming, advising clients, a couple trips to Florida, a couple trips to San Francisco coming up. And you know, I've already got a bunch of trips under my belt in 2018, just got started, which reminds me, if you want to see my new 2018 speaker highlight reel, for those of you that don't know, I am a keynote speaker. I speak on topics about where digital marketing is going for businesses and how to use the power of video. Well, my 2018 speaker highlight reel is now available at toddhartley.com. That's toddhartley.com. And the cool thing is I get to customize my presentations for the audiences and the industries that I'm speaking to. And that's always a whole lot of fun for me. The big picture is we're in a new economy where attention is scarce and valuable. And I get to teach businesses how to identify their most compelling business stories and transfer those stories into video so they can accelerate their sales process. ToddHartley.com is where my new speaker highlight reel is. It's fresh right out of the oven, and you're going to want to give it a listen. Listen, if you see how I did that, I used listen twice right there. And if you want to know how to get started with video marketing, well, I started an ROI mini course. It'll teach my foundational principles of how to guarantee your videos generate a return on investment. That's really part of my gift to this industry, is the ability to help businesses guarantee their projects generate an ROI. And I created a 5-part web-based mini course, and it lives on our website. It's free to listeners of this podcast, and you can get access to it by going to wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. And if you want to know how to use video, the most powerful tool on the internet, to speed up your sales process and hack attention span, I've got a webinar that I created, and it's a 35-minute video, I think, for anybody and everybody that's trying to move the needle on digital marketing projects, or for a sales team be able to sell at accelerated rates. I would recommend you go check out this webinar, and it can be found on the ToddHartley.com site. Just go to ToddHartley.com/Speedo. Why Speedo? Because I share the most embarrassing story of my entire life, and I do that in the first few minutes. And then I take that foundational principle of that embarrassing story and the marketing lesson that's wrapped inside of it, and I walk you through how to hack attention from your prospects, how to convince and convert them, and how to do it at faster and faster rates. And it revolves around the power of video. If this podcast was valuable to you, well, by all means, go to Google, iTunes, or Stitcher, hit the subscribe button, and each and every new episode will be sent directly to your mobile device. It's just that easy. I've already got the next 2 episodes already written out, and I'm going to be knocking those down very soon, and you can benefit from it. But if it helps you in any way, do me a solid. Share it with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, anybody that you're rooting for that can benefit from these digital marketing podcast episodes. Make sure it gets into their hands, and I will do my part bringing you the latest news and tactics in video marketing. I'll bring the smartest minds on these topics to help business straight to this podcast to make it easy for you. It is the easy button, right? And the whole goal is to make you a video marketing master.